You can take your Bibles and go to the book of Acts tonight, chapter 8. We're going to, after fellowship this Sunday, we'll have a meal. So if you want to stay, that's when we'll do it. Okie dokie. So that's the plan. Well, we were down the seashore last week, and on Thursday, I think it was, Stevie came down with his girlfriend Bridget, and they stayed Thursday and they stayed Friday. And on Friday morning, as we were getting up and getting about to go do some things, I saw Bridget with a Bible in her hands, and she was reading in Timothy. And so immediately my mind went to this record in Acts chapter 8. And little did she know that what she did inspired me to sit down later that evening when everybody was out and put this teaching together. And I'm reminded of Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, where the Lord spoke to a man named Philip. And Philip was a wonderful believer in the first century church. He was specifically called an evangelist, and he did tremendous signs, miracles, and wonders for God. And his heart was to serve God and to serve God's people. It says, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, verse 26, saying, arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Verse 27, and he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And that's the verse that I went to, and that's the verse I read Bridget. And I said, it's wonderful that you're reading, and it's great to want to know God's heart and this sort of thing. But I said, but do you understand what you're reading? There's more to just reading the Bible. And he said in verse 31, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. Preached unto him Jesus. And it's here in these several verses of scripture I like to look at tonight. And I like to look at several different points that we can observe here. And in looking at this, these lessons that can be learned will help us make the best use of our time and the best use of God's time when we're speaking the truth of God's word to someone. The first thing I want you to note is that the eunuch was searching. He was hungry. You see? He was at a place, honey, you need to go see what that is. He was at a place, it's probably your dog. When he's bad, it's her dog. So now that you got me on the subject, let me, oh yeah, we got a dog. He's a bad dog, though. You know why he's a bad dog? He eats everything in the world. So this week, what did he eat, honey? No, not tomatoes. This week, he got a bag of tea bags. She had a bunch of tea bags in a plastic bag. Right? He got these tea bags, and when we got up, he turned her rug upside down in the kitchen in front of the sink, and there's nothing but little specks of tea bags and plastic, and that's funny, huh? And shreds all over the place. So I walked into the kitchen. I said, "Did you do that?" Right? And he like looked at me like this. I said, "Don't lie to me. I know he did it." So he's probably up there throwing a bone away. Like I was saying, the eunuch was hungry. That's how I got off of that. The dog was hungry, ate the tea bags. The eunuch was hungry. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what?" They'll be filled. See? The question is, are you a person who is hungry? That's the question you got to ask yourself. And the word filled means to be filled or satisfied to the individual desire that you have. See, God is a God who is a gentleman, and he will not go beyond that which you will allow in your life. Sometimes he'll shake you, smack you upside head to get your attention, but God only goes so far. If your desire is to be filled this much, then God will prepare for you that much. If your desire is a feast, then God will prepare for you a feast. It's up to your individual appetite. You see, the eunuch was a person who was seeking God. He was hungry. He was at Jerusalem. He was at the place where he should have been filled. He was at the place where he should have got the knowledge that he required, and yet he came away hungry. He came away and he had questions. The next point I want you to see is that when a person is genuinely seeking God, seeking more of God, that it's God's job and God's pleasure to provide a way for that need to be met. Okay? That man was hungry. God saw that man's heart, and God got moving. And the Spirit of God moved, the things of God moved, and Philip got the instruction, and what did God say? Go and get near that guy. Get near that guy. Today, when there are people that are hungry, people that are thirsty, the needs should be met in the local church. I mean, where else would God meet their needs? That's the whole point of the church. The church is to bless people. It's to edify people. It's to instruct people. It's to administer the healing of God, the power of God, the goodness of God, etc., etc. And that's where people should go, and that's where the need should be met. At that point in time, the eunuch didn't get his answer there, so God provided further for that eunuch. Verse 28 of Acts 8 says, "He was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, enjoy thyself to this chariot. And it says, Philip ran thither to him. He heard what he said, and he asked him a question. He said, Do you understand what you're reading? It says it, do you understand what you're reading? Philip ran. Philip asked a question, and then you know what Philip did? He waited for the reply. He wanted to see what the guy had to say. Because when you're involved with somebody or somebodies, they have a right to say yay or nay. You see? And that man could have said, no, I'm not interested. No, I don't want to hear it. And that would have been fine and good. Because the man had what? Free will, sure. But his answer was, how can I except some man should guide me? And then it says he desired Philip that he'd come up and he would sit with him. He was hungry, and not only was he hungry, he was willing to do something about his hunger. You ever hear people that are called complainers? You know what a complainer does? That's exactly what they do. My back hurts. My foot hurts. I can't fit into this dress. I can't fit into these pants. You know, you're always late for school in the morning, etc., etc., etc. That's complain, 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 complain. Complaining's one thing. But you see, what you need to do is you need to do something about the problem so you don't sit there and just complain about it. See, the eunuch just didn't complain. The eunuch just didn't say, how can I, how can I, how can I? He was willing to go the next step and say, can you come here? Can you help me? Can you teach me? In other words, he just didn't want to talk about it. He wanted to do something. He wanted to do something. So the first thing we see is that the man was searching. The next thing we see is that when God provided somebody, he provided someone who knew the Word of God. Philip knew the Word of God. It says he turned to the Scripture where he was at, and he started to what? Preach about Jesus Christ. He didn't have to get a tape. He didn't have to get a book. He didn't have to call his friend and check it with somebody. Philip had already studied the Word of God. 2 Timothy says, study to show yourself what? Approved unto God. You're approved in that your workmanship that you produce and in the study and the effort that you put in to bless God's people. You're not approved before God because of works. You understand? You're approved of God because of Jesus Christ. But you see, that's in the spiritual realm. But in the practical realm, God wants you to be prepared on all points so that when the time is ready, you have the answers that you could give. Philip had studied the Word of God ahead of time, so he was prepared. Another thing you'll see about Philip is that not only was he ready, but he was what? Willing. He was able, he was willing, and he had what I call the heart of a servant. He was willing to get involved. He wanted to help. He was willing to serve. You see, 1 Peter 3:15 says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready when? Always to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and what? See, that takes some work. It takes some work to set time aside in your daily life to be able to put the Word of God in so that when the occasion arises, you're able to give an answer to a person. You're able to help a person. You're able to serve a person. Philip was minding his own business. He didn't get a letter 2 weeks ahead of time and saying, you know, be prepared because on such and such a day I'm going to speak to you and you're going to be called to do something. No. And if he was sloppy with the Word of God, if he was sloppy with his life and didn't take the time to be prepared on all points, when he got that calling, when he got that instruction, you know what would have happened? Maybe a different story. Maybe Acts 8 would have had a different story or a different man in there. See? But Philip was ready. Another thing I want you to see is that when Philip got there, you know what Philip did? He spoke the Word. He spoke the Word. If you're going to help someone, you got to get around to speaking the Word. Remember the temptations recorded in Luke 4 and Matthew 4? Jesus Christ answered, and he said what? It is written. And he spoke that to the devil himself to back down the devil. If Jesus Christ used the Word of God to back down the devil, and it worked for him, how important is it for us to be able to do the same? If the Son of God used God's Word against the adversary, how important is the Word for us to use against the adversary on lips of believing? You see, verse 32 says, the place of the Scripture which he read was this. He was led to as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. Philip turned around and he began to preach Christ. He not only knew the Word, he had the heart of the servant. He was full of the Word of God. He spoke the Word of God. But you know what else Philip did? He spoke the Word in love. He didn't knock on the guy. He didn't knock on where the guy was. He didn't knock on who the guy was or how he got there. Because to be a eunuch, you had to go through some things, you know. I'm to turn your head around. He said, pass it back to Rob. You're in the front row, bro. Any volunteers? So what does that tell you about the man, though? He was dedicated. He was serious about what he was doing. He was committed, right? And he was willing to do something to show how committed he was. See? Philip spoke the truth to this man in love. Psalm 119, verse 160 says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." You can't say that much about other things in life, but you can say that about God's word. He spoke the word. The eunuch had to be willing to believe that which Philip was speaking was true. Greater than that, the eunuch had to be willing to believe that God's word was true. See, a lot of times we say today, "Oh, I believe God's word. I believe God's word. I believe God's word is true. I believe God's word. I believe God." That speaking in tongues stuff, that's died with the apostles. That healing stuff, that went out with Jesus Christ. That devil stuff, that went out. And now all the time, "I believe God's word." Listen, either you believe the word or you don't. Stop making excuses. Get honest. If you don't make excuses and you want to learn, then you can get help. But if you're going to deny and you're going to make excuses and you're going to sidestep, you're never going to get help. Never in a million years. It was the word of God that Philip spoke. It said he opened the scripture, and starting at the same scripture, he preached to him what? He didn't talk about politics. He didn't talk about hockey. He didn't talk about baseball. You know, they all may be wonderful subjects in a proper setting, but he wasn't there to talk about, "Oh, how you doing? How you been? How's your job going? How's such and such?" You know, go to a picnic if you want to do that. Honestly, Philip didn't want to go to a picnic. You know what Philip was about? He was about the truth, and he was about presenting the truth. And when he got up there, he didn't talk about Candace. He didn't talk about the land that Candace ruled. He didn't talk about the Ethiopian's job. He didn't talk about the political flavor of the time. He opened the scriptures and he began to preach who? Jesus. Jesus. Sometimes that's where we get messed up. We go to places and we get to talking about things, and we get to talking about everything but what is really important. We don't talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't talk about the greatness of God's word. We don't talk about the greatness of what God made available to us in our day and time. And if we do this long enough, you know what happens? You become religious. And you just go through the motions. And you talk about everything but the thing that you were supposedly to gather about. You see, you don't approach the word of God that way. You can approach politics that way, you can approach baseball that way, but you don't approach the word of God that way. You present the word of God. If a person is, so to speak, a lamb of God, he'll hear God's voice. Now, I know that we're not lambs. I know that we're sons, and I know all the verses that go back and forth with these things. But the illustration of a lamb is one who is meek. Jesus used it in John chapter 10. Verse 26 says, "But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." They follow me. You see, if a person is called of God and is God's working in his heart and they're not messing around and they want God's word, you want to know something? That person will hear the voice of God. That person is a sheep, a lamb of God, so to speak. It's not a goat. Because you can waste a lot of time with goats. You can waste a lot of time with people who don't want to learn the truth. You can waste a lot of time and talk a lot of things, and you go all the way around, and when you get to the point of it, you say, "You know, I told you the story about so-and-so, and they were talking. I was with so-and-so for about 4 seconds, and I said to him, so tell me, what are you going to do when Jesus comes back?" That's what I said. And there were weeks ahead of time, just, "What are you going to do when Jesus comes?" It gets right to the point. You got to get to the word. Philip got to the word. John said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And then it says something peculiar. It says, and they follow me, Jesus Christ, which leads us to the next point. If you want to learn about God, okay, whether you like it or not, the Scripture teaches that you have to be willing to submit to a teacher. The eunuch was willing to submit to Philip. He invited Philip up, and he was willing to hear, to listen. And not only listen, he was willing to what? Obey. Because if you read the record, you see exactly what he did. He was willing to obey that which Philip spoke. Acts 8, verse 30, it says, Philip ran thither to him, and he heard him read the prophet. He said, do you understand what you're reading? Verse 31, he said, how can I except some man should what? Guide me. Do you think it's changed today? We still need people to guide us. We still need teachers to instruct us. We still need men and women to show us the Word of God. Does that negate your study of God's Word? No. Does that negate your prayer towards God? No. Does that negate God teaching you by revelation and by your study and by your action? No. But you, whether you like it or not, God has placed within the body ministries. God has placed within the body men and women to instruct, to teach, to help, to encourage, this sort of thing. And it says that he desired Philip that he would come up and that he would what? Sit with him. And herein lies the problem for the older believer. You see, because a younger person has the heart of a child. And that's why there's so many signs, miracles, and wonders manifested to the youth. And not only I'm talking about year-wise, I'm talking about spiritual years-wise. When a person has a pure heart and receives God at his word, they don't have all this doubt, they don't have all this confusion, they don't have all these years of Greek, Hebrew, and all these years of teachings running around in their brains. And what their brains do automatically is that when they hear something, or they hear something that they misunderstand, or they hear something that they want to scrutinize, or they hear something that they don't, whatever, you know what their brain does? Their brain files it all, and then you got 1,000 thoughts coming into your head, and the minister's 10 verses away, and you already miss what he's trying to say. And then you are saddled with the responsibility of having to lease your brain. See? Having to lease your brain. Whenever and wherever a believer has been hurt, has been abused, has been torn, has been misused, that believer builds a shell around their heart. The adversary comes, and the adversary exchanges a lie for the hurt. And what the believer is not aware of is that the devil is not helping them, is that the devil is, in fact, bringing them deeper into darkness and pulling them farther away from the truth of God and the light of God's Word. This is the great exchange. It's a lie. I explained this to you years ago when I was young and I had fear. And the devil said, I'll show you a way to get rid of your fear. Take this anger in its place. And so for me, I was able to get rid of the fear. But I then became a very angry person. And instead of the one being beat up and spit on and abused, then I started to abuse and beat up and spit on. But I got rid of the fear. You see, I call it the 10.0 version. He upgraded me. He gave me a download, but he tricked me. Now I'm going to tell you a trick that the devil pulls with believers. All over the world, they get hurt. This is what the devil does. The devil convinces the believer to follow only Jesus Christ. And in doing so, they follow no man, they associate closely with no individual, and in doing so, they are afforded the protection that only Jesus Christ can give. Now, on the surface, that sounds good. I don't follow anybody, I just follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you find and dig a little bit, you will find that a person who makes that type of a statement is a hurt person. Whether they realize it or not, many times they have buried their hurt, and they use this as a cover because they feel that there's safety in that statement. Now, if there's safety in that statement, the Word of God ought to prove that statement out. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to go in your mind now, and I want you to rectify these scriptures with that statement. At the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, he was back on shore. And you know what he was concerned about? He was concerned about his people being instructed after he left. That's what he was concerned about. So he went to Peter in the Gospel of John in chapter 21. And you know what he says to Peter? He says, love me more than these. And he said, yep, you know I love you. And then Jesus said, feed my what? He's telling Peter, I want you to feed people. And then two more times in that record, for a total of three, he tells and instructs Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Now here's a man that Jesus Christ is ordaining to a specific ministry in the body, which is yet to come, the body I'm speaking about, to what? Teach people, to help people. Now, in order for those people to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, they would have to what? Listen to who? Listen to Peter. Listen to Peter. If you're going to follow Jesus, you got to obey his word. Now, what do you do with that scripture? What do you do with Hebrews 13, where it says, obey them that have the rule over you? Then it goes on and it says, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they can do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. So it says, obey them that have the rule over you, that have been placed in that position. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 15 and 16, says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas. You know this group, you know this household. They are the first fruits of Achaia. And they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you would submit yourselves unto such people, and everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Here the Apostle Paul, by way of God, is saying that you would submit yourselves unto them in the ministry, and that you would submit yourselves unto such. That's your willing decision to place yourself in a position where you can learn, where you can submit, where you can grow. 1 Peter 5:5, the New International Version, says, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace unto what? The humble. You see? You got to say, what am I going to do with these scriptures if it's just me and Jesus? 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. The word over you, that are over you in the Lord, the word over means to be superintendent, to preside over, to be a protector or a guardian, to care for, to give attention to. See, who places people over people? Well, Romans 13 says when it's done right, it's God who does it. In Romans 13, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained are of God. It's not talking about the government. It says, whosoever, listen, therefore, resisteth the power, resists the ordinance of God. What are you going to do with that verse? If you're going to resist, it's not the man, it's not the woman, it's not the group. It's you're resisting who? Because God figured this thing out. The rulers are not a terror, but they're good. Will you be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, etc., etc. It says, he beareth not the sword in vain. He's a minister of God, such and such. Wherefore, you must need be subject, not only for it, but for conscience sake. Now, you know what has happened? We get ministers, leaders, rulers, who are nothing but Adolf Hitlers. Right? And because they trash people, and they trash ministries, and they trash families, and they trash everything, everybody who bears the title of a servant, a minister, suffers because of what they do. It's still God's will that there are elders ordained in the body. It's still God's will that there are teachers, apostles, pastors, etc., placed in the body. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12 teach us this. You understand? The eunuch didn't have a problem with that. The eunuch was willing to listen to what Philip had to say. As a matter of fact, the eunuch invited Philip into his life. You can only teach what you know, right? That's why we need one another. That's why we need the body. That's why we need different input. That's why we need organization. We need structure. And if you know me, you know, I'm not about people following me or any of that kind of stuff, because if it's about people following me, you guys missed the boat. And if it's about people following me, I miss the boat. And when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, then I'm really going to miss the boat, right? But within the church, there's a framework and a reference that God has ordained. Don't throw all of that away because you've been hurt. I've been hurt. I know a guy in Phoenixville. He won't come to church no more. Been there, done that. Don't want no parts of it anymore. It's me and Jesus. Okay, well, why did Jesus die so that he could give us a body? So he could be head of the body? Is that right? But that's his excuse. Why does he have that excuse? You know why? Because the devil said to him, here, take this and forget about all that. Does a believer have a right to go to a minister and correct him and reprove him? Absolutely. Absolutely. Does a believer have a right to get two or three and go to that minister and say that? Absolutely. Does a believer have a right to do that over and over again? Absolutely. Does a believer have the right to say, you ain't nothing but a, you ain't changing, I'm leaving? Absolutely. You understand? Absolutely. A minister should be held to a higher standard. You understand? Or get out from behind the lectern. Sit down and keep your mouth shut. But if you're going to stand, you got to be held to a higher standard. And the congregation should be the ones who are confronting the minister on the truth of God's word if something's wrong. Now, you don't have to fight about it. You say, this is the best I know. This is what I see. You still love each other and you move on. But if a guy's going to constantly sit here and abuse the word of God and abuse you and teach you, you know what? Then you got no brains at all to sit there in that fellowship. Okay? But don't say it's just me and Jesus, because God put the body together. He set within the body ministries. He tells us to be aware of them that are over you. You understand? He instructs that to us. And for us to say no to that because we don't, because we've been hurt and we just want to be over here, we bought the lie of the devil. And in buying the lie of the devil, this is what happens. He pulls you over here, and now you are no longer exposed or have access to the wonderful gifts and abilities within the local church or the local churches. Okay? And that's not good, because everybody has something to offer. 1 Corinthians says, the eye can't say to the ear, I have no need. Everybody's got something to offer. Everybody has a ministry to perform. But if you let the adversary go over here, don't be like me. Don't take the anger and say, I'm going to take away the fear. Here, give me that fear. Take this anger instead. That's what he did to me. Don't let him do that to you. Be smart. Be aware. You're not dumb. Nobody's asking you to drink Kool-Aid, right? But still, we're instructed to work together. Matthew 5, 6 said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? So the question is, are you a person who is hungry, and do you want to be filled? See, for a beginner, I'm hungry. You ever see a kid? A kid will get up in the morning and eat 3 bowls of cereal, 6 waffles, and an ice cream cone before they go to school. Then on the bus, they got like a Milky Way bar stuck away in their school bag. They'll get to school and have a snack, then they'll have lunch, then they'll have another snack at recess, and they'll come home, and as soon as they come home, they don't say hi to mom. You know where they go? That's right. Because they're starving, don't you know? I ain't ate in 2 hours. What's wrong with you? So at 3 o'clock, they're in the refrigerator, in front of the TV, and at 5 o'clock, they're eating what? Supper. Before they go to bed, they got to have 3 bowls of cereal, 2 bananas, and some ice cream, or they can't make it, right? Why? Because they're a kid. Because they're wonderful. Because they're growing. Because they're full of energy, and they're vibrant, and they don't care, and they just want to eat, and grow, and grow, and they're excited, right? Then you get the old dogs. They mosey on in, I'm beat, lay down, and that's it. They're not hungry no more. Physically, I guess God could care one way or another, but spiritually, you don't want to be like that. Spiritually, when you were young, you went here, you did that, you trusted this person, you fellowshiped with this one, you loved that one, you forgave that one, you've had this friend, you had this, you did all kinds of wonderful things, you ate together, you played together, you seemed to forget about all the negatives, you seemed to forget about all the junk that was coming at you, and then 10, 20, 30 years, you're into the Word, you learn all these wonderful things that turn around and weigh you down like an anchor and take you to the bottom of the pit, and you're just dragging along, you have no excitement. You have no enthusiasm. You have no nothing because you're bored. You're tired. And you don't want to be around nothing because I just want to follow Jesus. Don't let the adversary lie to you like that. Don't let him steal from you the best years of your life that are yet to come. Are you still hungry? Huh? I am. Are you still hungry? That's the point. If you're not hungry, you better get hungry. Do something about it. Do you want to grow? Do you want to learn? Do you want to see the Word of God come off of the pages and live in your life? You got to be hungry. If you are, the promise is you shall be what? He'll fill you. He'll fill you. This was Paul's prayer. In Colossians, it says in 1:9, for this cause also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you. What did they pray? That and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That was their prayer. That they would be filled with the knowledge of his will and spiritual understanding and wisdom. And that they might walk worthy unto the Lord. That's verse 10. That's what people stop at verse 9. They want to be filled. They want to walk around like a concordance or a lexicon and be able to spout off page two, so, and Strong's concordance, Young's concordance, such and such and such. Then this Greek says this, and this declines this way, and this conjugates this way. They just want to be filled. But verse 10 says, that you may what? You know what that means? That means that's the practical application of you being filled with the spiritual knowledge and wisdom and understanding from God's word. Because knowledge without practical application is useless. It's useless. Go on TV, play Jeopardy, and win some money if they have a Bible Jeopardy or whatever that Wheel of Fortune thing is. I'll take prophets of the Old Testament for 500. What good is that? The Word of God says that you may be what? You may walk worthy of the Lord. What is it to walk worthy of the Lord? Well, the Word of God says you're not to be an adulterer. If you know that up here and you're not living like that and you're goofing around on your wife or you're goofing around on your husband and you're goofing around and neglecting the responsibilities of your children, you're not walking worthy of the Lord. Why are you getting filled? Why are you getting filled? So you can play Bible trivia and answer to all the questions to get five pieces in the pie? Why are you getting filled? So you could be the best guy at the party and answer all the questions. I'm the Bible answer man. Why are you getting filled? If you're not going to walk worthy, why are you wasting God's time? Why? God fills you. God wants you to have wisdom. He wants you to have instruction, but you know why he wants you to have it? So you can walk worthy of the Lord and please him unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in or by the knowledge of God. That's why God will instruct people. The problem is today we got a bunch of instructed people who don't want to walk. You know what they want to do? They want to sit. I call them rocking chair Christians. They sit there and they rock and wait for the return of Jesus Christ. And you know what comes out of their mouth all day long? I'm glad I got the hope. I'm glad I got the hope. What are you doing about the hope that's living inside of you? Rocking here on this porch. Got the hope. Got the hope. It's like a get out of jail free card. Got the hope. You cheated on your wife. Got the hope. It's grace. You're not providing for your family. Got the hope. What's the matter with people? I can understand this. If I can understand it, everybody should be able to understand it. He wants you to what? Walk worthy. Walk worthy. So what have we learned? Are you seeking God? If you're new, that's a question. If you're not new, let me ask you this. Are you seeking more of God? The eunuch just didn't talk. The eunuch was willing to take action on his words, correct? Sure. We saw that Philip had a knowledge of God's word. We saw that Philip was not only willing, but he was ready, and he had a heart to what? Serve. He had a heart of service. He didn't want to sit around, and he didn't say, here I am, serve me. You know what he said? What can I do, Lord? Tell me where to go. Tell me what to do. I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to serve. We saw that once that man made the decision to seek God, the eunuch, that God was willing to move heaven and earth to get that man an answer to his question. In so much so that he sent him a gift ministry right to his door and said, understandest thou what you read? Is that an answer to prayer? Is that an answer to a heart reaching out for God? You know what, though? Another point you got to understand, that you got to be willing to accept God's answer to your prayer. Because so many times we pray prayers to God, and in the end of the prayer, this is what we say subliminally. and this is the way I expect it to be, or this is the one I expect it to come from, or this is the way it's going to happen. And God's sitting up there and saying, then why do you need me? I wasn't going to do it that way. You just ruined my whole day. I had another plan in mind for you. I had another way I was going to bring you into the fullness of this. And now you weren't expecting it this way. You're just going to miss what I got for you, son. You know who does that? Smart people. That's who does it. Jesus fought with smart people like that. I know the word. But they don't understand the word. John 7, verse 47, listen. Then answered them the Pharisees. Talking to the people, the Pharisees, and they're saying, are you also deceived? The Pharisees are saying that. Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? We're talking about Jesus Christ now. Any of the other guys, any of the rulers, any of the other Pharisees, any other big shots here believed on him or what he's teaching or what he's promoting? You guys nuts? You listening to him? This people knoweth not the law. They're cursed. Nicodemus said unto them, he that came to Jesus at night being one of them, doth not our law judge any man before we hear him and know not what he doeth? And they answered, and this is what they said to Nicodemus, because they're smart, because they know the word, because they're Bible people, you know. Art thou also of Galilee? Go ahead, search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth what? No prophet. No prophet. And what happened? You know what happened? They went home, and they missed out on the greatest thing that was available to mankind at any time in the history of the world. Who is that? Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. And how did they arrive at this stupendous conclusion? Scripture. Search the scripture. Look. No prophet arise out of Galilee. Did you know we know everything? And they missed it. They missed the healing. They missed the wholeness. They missed the love. They missed the look in our Savior's eyes when you could have looked person to person to touch his wonderful hands, Lord Jesus. They missed it all. They missed it all because of Scripture, because they were smart, you know. Listen, if God is willing to provide to you an answer to your prayer, don't turn around and say to God, search the scriptures. Wherefore, if any prophet arriveth out of Narstown, out of Galilee, out of court, you know, don't be stupid. Don't do that. They said that about Jesus too. Jesus, he's from what? Nazareth. He's from Nazareth. You know, he's from Manayunk. How can you get anything good from Manayunk? That's what Nazareth was. You like Manayunk? Okay, I'm sorry. Phoenixville, okay? Bayonne. The point is this. If you're going to go to God, come to God on his terms. Don't go to God and then define to him. This, and by the way, this is the way I want you to do it. You miss it if you do that. You miss it. You got to know the word. You got to be willing to serve. You got to be able to receive what God's going to give you. You got to speak the word and not small talk, not politics, not how you're doing, not all that may be involved, but you got to get to the word. And you know what? Getting to the word, you know what that involves sometimes? That involves asking the hard questions. And nobody wants to ask the hard questions, because when you ask the hard questions, you know what happens lots of times? You get yourself in trouble. Well, would you rather get yourself in trouble and help somebody, or just keep quiet and let them stay in bondage the rest of their life? That's why you got to ask the hard questions sometimes. But you got to remember, you got to speak the truth in love. And remember that that person is a child of God. that person is a believer or that person is a potential believer, and they need to be respected and they need to be loved, and you need to place them in that position. You got to be willing to submit to God's teachers. The eunuch was willing to listen and submit himself. You got to remember that if you're going to go beyond what you know, sometimes you got to be willing to be taught. And again, you got to be willing to receive the answer that God's going to give. For isn't this what God wants, and isn't this what pleases God? And as we close, we read in Timothy, 1 Timothy 2, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. It's a good thing, and it's a thing that God accepts. That's what he's saying now. And this is what he's telling you about God's heart and God's will. It is God's heart that all men would be saved and come unto what? The knowledge of the truth. Unless you are dead, I got news for you. You are still coming to the knowledge of the truth. There is more that we don't know than we do know. God's got things that we don't have a clue about. That's why it's going to take a long time for him to show us. So, if you're a person who's hungry, I exhort you to stay hungry. If you're a person who's not hungry, I exhort you to check out the scriptures, and maybe it'll whet your appetite that you would be hungry. And remember that God will move heaven and earth for you if your heart is that you want and need an answer and you're willing to apply God's word to your life. He did. He sent a personal messenger to one guy. And that guy wasn't a believer. He wasn't from the tribe. You know what I mean? He didn't even have a pedigree. He was just a eunuch. Not that that's a bad thing, or I don't speak in a disparaging manner about the man. But God was willing to do that for a eunuch. Would he not do the same for us? Our God has not died. His arm is not short, that his power has been exhausted. The problem lies with us. But God is gracious, and God is willing to continue to be patient and lead us in the direction that we should go. Now, will you walk in that direction? That's the question. So, Father, thanks for your word. We love you, and we thank you, Father, for all the things that you do for us. And we thank you, Father, that you would open our hearts, our minds, our hearts, our ears, and that you would reach down, Father, and we give you permission, Father, to come into those areas of our life that are crusted up, that we have built fortresses against you. And Father, we just ask for your help and your wisdom and guidance in being able to recognize them and then being able to demolish them so that we could live to do your will and please you. I thank you for this person here. I thank you for each person that we hear this teaching, that they would take it to heart and be doers of the word, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And they all said, amen and amen.